service, but just I just like to repeat things, right? Like, repeat myself. So Wednesday is our baptism once again. It's my privilege to baptize my mom. So I thank God for that, and also my son, and also Sister Grace, and the mystery speaker later. Okay? So we thank God. We will be having the baptism on a Wednesday, so please come and join us. We'll be having a short worship time before that. For those who like to come, it's just down the road and turn right, alright? Not left, right. Because they are doing major renovation works in Sembawang Park. So there's actually one more part over on this side that actually still, they have not done that yet. So we'll be baptizing there. Then after that, the four candidates will be ferried back to take their showers and all that. We will be having a lunch fellowship as well, alright? So on that day, whoever that is here, we will order first. And then after that, we'll just top out whoever that can come, alright? Brother Joshua Poon is actually in charge of games, alright? For those who are more energetic and want to kind of sweat it out, you can play soccer, badminton, ice hockey or something. You cannot play ice hockey. Yeah, captain's ball or something, okay? They'll be just playing nearby here, alright? For those who are here, you can come back here and fellowship in air-conditioned comfort. The food will be here, just packet, right? You can just fellowship and while the guys sweat it out all day, alright, if you like to. Okay, of course the ladies, you're welcome to join too. Okay, so please be praying. Pray for good weather as well. Okay, I don't think we want to miss this for the world. Okay, thank God. So I think next week there will be some more people sharing their testimonies to join the church. Okay, we thank God for that as well. So God has been, if you haven't been coming on Fridays, you need to come. We're dealing with the law of the harvest, and one of the things we've learned is that before God can add, we need to be sowing the seed, okay? And we've seen how God, I think I shared a testimony that I prayed at the beginning of the year, Lord, give us one baptism a month. And God didn't do that. But God said, okay, you sow first, and I'll give you all at one time, okay? And so thank God the people are coming in, added to the church, okay? The goal of the church is not to become big. The goal of the church is to get people to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, get them saved, baptized, and join the church, according to Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And that's what... The moment we stop that, okay, I read one quote once. When the church fails to evangelize, we fossilize. When the church stops evangelizing, we will become fossilized. Does that make sense? We will become more self-centered. We think about ourselves more. But you know, for those who came during the Sunday school, when you saw the video of how Brother Fraser went to the Lisu people in China, and how 5-6 years of no results until the Lord broke through, how God, through one man, won 20,000 people to Christ. And today, there are thousands of Lisu evangelists out there preaching the gospel because of one man. All right. And so, we want to look today at the multiplying power of God, and I hope God will challenge us today. Let's stand, all right, as we take the Bible. In John chapter 6, we'll read from verse 5 to verse 9. John chapter 6, verse 5 to verse 9. I'll read verse 5, then you read verse 6, so on, until we finish at verse number 9, okay? John chapter 6, verse 5, the Bible reads, "When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Verse number 6. Verse 7. "Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not enough or not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." Verse 8. And notice what he said. Verse 9. Let's read together. "There is a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" What are they among so many? Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your holy presence today. And Father, we ask that you speak from heaven as only you can. And Lord, I pray, perhaps there is one person, Lord, or a few people in this place today who may not understand the multiplying power of God. God, today I pray that you would exalt your own name through the preaching of your word. that Father, thy servant would share with people what you want them to know about you. And I pray today, Lord, there will be one that will completely give themselves to you, or even a few. Father, I pray for people in this place right now who may have blockages of faith, who may have obstacles in their lives that stops them from doing what you want them to do. God, I pray as you open your heart through your word that today, Lord, you speak to our hearts. That when we leave this place, there will be something in our hearts that will glorify you for what you have done. Thank you for what you're going to do now. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. John chapter 6 and verse 5 is a very popular passage, a very popular children's story. In John chapter 6 verse 5, what I'm going to do is go through the passage, and then I will actually highlight certain key things. And I want you to notice four great things about the multiplying power of God. In John 6 verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes, that means he lifted up his eyes, means he looked around. Okay? He saw a great company come unto him. If you understand this passage, there are two times that Jesus fed great multitudes. One time he fed 5,000, another time he fed 4,000. Okay? There was one man from another church who said, see, there's an inconsistency in the Bible. No, it's just two separate situations that Jesus fed 5,000 and Jesus fed 4,000. Does that make sense? Okay, some people say that's a contradiction of the Bible. There's no contradiction. Jesus just fed 5,000 at one time, 4,000 at another time. The Bible says that there was a great company that came. 5,000 is a great company. But if you read the Bible in the different passages, you realize the Bible says 5,000 men. 5,000 men. Okay? Now, the Bible didn't include their families. Estimation, there's probably about 12,000 people that day, including women, wives, and children. So the Lord Jesus Christ did not just feed 5,000. If you read the context carefully, okay, this is some assumption, but you will generally realize there will be women and children around too. Because they came as a family. Usually in those Jewish days, they usually come as a family. And so there was a great company, and guess what Jesus did? God has a sense of humor. Okay, let's pretend Joseph, I don't use Jairus anymore, let's pretend Joseph, okay? And Joseph is this whole, everyone comes, right? And then your daddy said, Joseph, can you buy everyone lunch? What are you going to do? Oh, you see his face. What are you going to do, Joseph? Daddy comes and says, Joseph, buy everyone lunch here. What are you going to say? Joseph says, I don't know. You know, the Lord Jesus had a sense of humor, but actually it's not just a sense of humor. God had a plan. God had a plan. The disciples had to learn to trust God. And so Jesus used this opportunity and said to Philip, when shall we buy bread that this may eat? The Lord Jesus Christ is giving to Philip an impossible task in Philip's eyes. I want you to take note of that. The Lord Jesus is giving to Philip an impossible task in Philip's eyes. Because he told Philip, when can we buy bread so that all these people can eat? He said, Lord, you must be joking. You know how many people are out there? We don't even have enough for ourselves. Lord, in fact, if you read another passage, Peter, I believe, was the one who said, Lord, send these people away that they might go into the villages and find food themselves. You know what Jesus says? No, you give them something to eat. He said, what? And so here, but you know, in John chapter 6 and verse 6, that was a commentary. Okay, that's why it was written by Apostle John. This he said to test him. For he himself knew what he would do. Okay, the Lord Jesus Christ was saying that to test Philip. In verse 7, Philip answered him, Lord, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for him. One penny, according to the book of Luke, is your salary for one day. So 200 penny worth will be your salary for about 6.5 months. Right? 200 divided by 30, So my math's correct? 6.5 months? About there, 7 months, right? So, Singaporean terms, okay? Lord, 7 months salary cannot feed these 12,000 people. Alright? Assuming 1 penny is paid for 1 day. That everyone may just take a little bit. In verse 8, one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here, there is a child here, which had 5 barley loaves. Barley loaves in those days are like our gardenia buns. I've said it many times already. Gardenia buns you buy? About that size, okay? So there are 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. 2 fishes are like our salted fish. Okay? So salted fish, that you know those small, like nasi lemak, the fish you have? It's about that size, some slightly bigger, give and take, alright? So 2 fishes. Basically, it's a boy's lunch. This little boy. But Lord, there is this child here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But notice the question. But what are they among so many? What are they among so many? The Bible teach us that God created the heavens and the earth. Can I ask you a question? How many stars are there in the sky today? Okay, this one is for Premier 6 and below. Okay, Premier 6 and below, put up your hand. How many stars are there in the sky? Yes, Mark. He put up his hand. How many stars are there in the sky? 1,331,210? How many? Don't know. Okay, he doesn't know. Okay, that's a good answer. How many knows? How many stars are there in the sky? Anyone? Yes, Esther Joy? A lot. Okay, that's a good answer. Who else? Who wants to try? How many stars are there in the sky? Angel? How many stars are there in the sky? And let me give you a clue. You cannot know the number one. That's your clue. So how many stars are there in the sky? Sorry, are you Premier 6 and below? just kidding. Alright. An infinite number. Without, you know, scientists have told us that they are even finding new galaxies out there, right? And in the Milky Way alone, hundreds of millions and millions and millions and millions of stars. Isn't that right? You know what God said in Genesis chapter 1? God spoke the lights into being. Let there be light. Can I say this? It's interesting. God said the light first, then He created the sun and the moon and the stars. I'll read your Bible properly. God says, let there be light first, then He made the sun and moon and the stars on day 4. That tells us, we don't worship the sun because the sun is not our originator. God is. Okay, God said, let there be light. God made the star. How many fishes are there in the sea? How many fishes are there in the sea? A lot. Thank you. At least she has a consistent answer. Okay. What else? Premier 6 and below, come, Titus. How many fishes are there in the sea? Come on. I'm sure you know. Okay, make it easy for you. How many sharks are there in the sea? It is said, I think last year they said if I'm not wrong, I read a report about 10 million sharks last year alone were killed because of Chinese wanting to eat shark fin. Can you imagine 10 million sharks? You can't. What's the size of the shark? What do they do with the... they just cut off the fins, right? And then after that, what do they do with the rest of them? Just throw away. They put it back into the sea so that the fins will grow again. How many fishes are there in the world? Do you not think that God can multiply? Not add, multiply. I want us to understand, our God is an infinite God. His power is infinite. And whatever He wants to do, He can by His power. I want to encourage us today. I want to see God from His perspective now. No longer from what we do, but from His perspective. He is called the El Shaddai, the Almighty God. Not just the Mighty God, the Almighty God. There's nothing that God cannot do. He cannot do one thing. He cannot sin. Amen. Alright. If He cannot sin, means He cannot lie. If He cannot lie, means we can trust Him. Amen. Thank God for that. There's certain things that God just don't do. He doesn't lie. He doesn't break promises. Alright. Now, what has that got to do with us as His servant? Remember, this month is about the calling of God on the life of His servant. We are in missions month. What is that to me? The principle of this multiplying power has to do with God's work and our investment in the work of God for Him. Okay? This message is to be an encouragement for workers and servants of Christ. And it is to be an encouragement in three ways. Number one, listen, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. There are some new verses that I've added. So, let's turn there, Ephesians 3:20. Let's read together. Memorize it if you need to. Ephesians 3:20. Okay, let's read together. Ready? One, two, begin. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. There are some people who say, Paul, in this English phrasing, is using redundant language because he says, exceeding abundantly above. You know what? That is all in the original. You know what Paul is trying to tell us? God can do far more than we 3.5 kilograms here can think of. Our brain weighs about 3.5 kilograms. You know, God can do much more than what we think. God can do much more. God can solve your problem much better than you can and I can. God can deal with us much better. And you know what's the blessing of that? God can do it better for the best purpose. Amen? Y'all don't believe that? Come on, guys. We need to build our faith. Hear His promise by hearing. God can do much more. Amen? God can do much, much more than we ever think. Number one, God can and will multiply. Number two, as we work for the Lord, all this is an encouragement to everyone. We can look forward to multiplying. Let's turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Matthew 25. In verse 19 to 30, I won't read the whole passage, but I'll just read one verse, okay? And that is in number 20. Matthew chapter 25, verse 20. The background is God. There was this master who was leaving, and he gave talents to his three servants. You are supposed to go and do something with it. Okay? The first servant came back, and this is what he said in verse 20. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. For the understanding of younger Christians, the word talents there does not mean gifts. It doesn't mean the talents that you have, you know, as your abilities, okay? Because if you look at verse number 15, it made very clear, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man he gave talents, what? According to his several ability. Okay, talents in the Bible refers to money. Does that make sense? 5 talents. So I give this person 5 talents, this person 2 talents, this person 1 talent. The talent there in this parable represents opportunities. As a servant, I have abilities, but I can't do anything. But the master said, I give you 5 talents. Another master said, I give you 2 talents. Which means as a servant, I have nothing. I only have abilities. God gives me 5 talents. Oh, I got something to do with. I can do something with it. Does that make sense? Okay? And so, some of us, as we serve the Lord, some people have, I won't say that, some people go out soul winning. Some people clean the church very well. You know, some people will prepare things. Some people will lay out things on the bulletin and things like that. We all have abilities. But some people say, Brother Johnny, I don't know where to serve. Come and see me. I've got lots of things you can do. Alright, there are many opportunities. But you know what? The biggest opportunity right now is to win souls and to help them grow. It's not just winning souls from outside, listen carefully, but also helping those already inside to grow. It's not about just adding, we need to grow. Does that make sense? And we need one another. I can tell you right now, there are more than 20 opportunities for you to help someone grow. Okay? And so, but as we work for the Lord, we can look forward to God multiplying our efforts. Alright, that's what the Bible says, okay? And point number 3 is to be an encouragement for us because this principle of multiplication is never used for personal gain. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ fed the 5,000, it was the people out there who benefited. The Lord Jesus used His power for someone else. Remember when Jesus was hungry in the wilderness? Did He use it for Himself? Did He change the stone into bread for Himself? No. Christians, think about that. We have our abilities. God wants us to use it for Him. If we are genuinely Christians and loving God, I'm not saying therefore, oh, I cannot use. I'm saying that we need to have an attitude that is non-selfish. That I can use it to do my work, but if someone needs it, I'll give it to you. I appreciate some of our church members. Sometimes, we just have this van, and this van cannot actually go into Malaysia. Sometimes we have to recce for our church campsite, and sometimes I just kind of make the let the announcement, and some of the brethren say, Pastor, here, you can use my car to go and do recce. You know, I'm very touched by that, because it shows, firstly, at least they trust my driving. That's one. But to give over a $50,000 machine, that takes a lot of faith. But you know what? I believe in the heart of this brother or whoever, car doesn't belong to me, it belongs to God. Amen? And that is the kind of mentality the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to have as His people. Okay? Not possessing, but having, but willing to use for others. These three principles God wants us to have. With that in mind, I want us to learn four things about God's multiplying power. Number one, God can multiply despite our lack of resources. The Bible says in verse 7, 8, and 9, Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, John chapter 6, verse 7, that every one of them may take a little. These are poor people. The Jews that followed Jesus, they are not millionaires. In Singapore, there will be a lot more millionaires soon. But so what if you're a millionaire, if you don't have Christ, okay? But here, a lot of the people that follow Jesus at that time, they were very poor. And that's why Jesus, that encouraged me. When the Lord Jesus Christ saw people coming, listen to this. Jesus took it upon Himself to take care of them. Jesus took it upon Himself to take care of them. I know we are limited in our resources. But as God's church, if our Savior would take it upon Himself to take care of His church, you know what He says? Even as the Father sent me, so send I you. In the same way I have done what God has wanted me to do, I want you to do the same. And so Jesus here challenged Philip. And Philip said, Lord, these people, even if we spend 6.5 months of salary, we won't buy enough bread for these people, even if they just take a little bit. Now, each one scoop of rice or something. Then in verse 8, one of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? What are they among so many? What are they among so many? Pastor Johnny, we don't have enough. We don't have enough. We all can see. We don't have enough. We're a small church. But thank God we have some more chairs. Add another 30 more. We have to buy new ones already. Amen. But you know what? Thank God. Our faith should be greater. We shouldn't have 100. We should buy 900 chairs. No, just kidding. I don't know where to store them. But you know what? We're going to hit. We ordered 100 chairs about 6 years ago. Oh no, 6 years, 4 years ago. In a few months' time, Lord willing, we have to buy new ones. Amen. And usually a lack of resources is a good problem to have. You know why? It's an opportunity for us to trust God for more. But you know what? These disciples, five loaves and 2 fishes. It's like, I only have 1 packet of nasi lemak to share among all. Oh, cannot. Can I turn you to 1 Kings chapter 17 and see what God does in those situations? 1 Kings chapter 17. For those who know your Bible, it is the story of the widow at Zarephath. The youth got a bit confused yesterday between Elijah and Elisha. Alright, if you've attended FBI, remember, the Jah comes before Shah, alphabetical order. So Elijah came first, then Yes, all right, Elisha. But in 1 Kings chapter 17, the situation was Elijah has proclaimed a drought in all the land because of the sins of King Ahab. God was going to judge this king. 3.5 years, there will be no rain. All right, and so God moved Elijah to one of the brooks, Kidron, to be taken care of. All right, and then after that, after the brook dry up, okay, God says, you go to Zarephath. Zarephath was a Gentile place. Not even in Israel. It was a Gentile place. You know what that tells us? There was not one person who will follow God in whole of Israel. God had to send Elijah out of Israel to be taken care of someone else. Does that make sense? You will find there is a correlation there, because all the apostles in John chapter 6 did not believe in Jesus. Because that's why they asked the questions. Okay? And so in this situation, the widow, well, as Elijah was walking towards the widow, the widow was picking up sticks. And the widow says, look, I'm just going to take these few sticks, make a fire. The widow had a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil left. And she said, I'm just going to make this, and then I'm going to eat it with my son, and then we're going to die. You know what she means? Look, this is our last supper. This is our last meal. When I make that, and we eat, we'll die. What did Elijah tell her to do? Look at chapter 17, verse 13. Elijah said unto her, this woman had lots of fear in her heart about provisions. But Elijah said this, fear not, don't be afraid. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me therefore a little cake first. Talk about selfishness, right? Now, Elijah wasn't selfish. I'll touch on that later. Make a little cake first. Bring it unto me. And after that, make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Elijah told the widow to do a seemingly ridiculous thing. The widow just told Elijah, well, I'm going to make this food, and we are going to eat, and then after that we die. There's nothing left. You know what Elijah said? Don't worry about that. You make it for me first. Was Elijah being selfish? No, he wasn't. We'll learn this lesson from God's word. Notice what he said next in verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Elijah wouldn't dare to do anything without God's permission. Number one. Number two, God promised, look at verse 14, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. You know, the cruse of oil, some people say, well, God filled it to the brim, so there's a lot of oil. Not so. You know what God did every day? God, you know, the Bible says he had a little oil, a little flour left. And he's supposed to mix this to make the bread. And so on a daily basis, she will use up and empty that vessel, right? You know what God does? Just fill it up, just enough. Just fill it up, just enough. Just fill it up, just enough. For 3.5 years. Probably a bit shorter because the drought has been quite bad already. You know where that principle is from? Remember in the wilderness, God commanded the people to collect the manna. Did God says collect a lot for yourself and keep for many days? Those who know your Bible study, no. God says just collect enough for that day. Collect enough for that day. Those people who were a bit kiasu, like Singaporeans, what do? We take, especially at buffet, got a lot of leftover. You know what we do? Huh? We stuff here, stuff there, you know, all plastic bag, all bring home, right? Some people are smiling because that's how big. God says, you just take enough for that day for your family. What happened to those people who took extra? Let's say they took 2 days. What happened to the second day food? It stank, the Bible says. It went spoiled. You know what is the lesson for us? God wants us to learn to trust Him. I'll touch on it on the second point. But here, this widow lady probably looked at Elijah. I don't know what went through her mind because the Bible never said. But this thing did happen. Look at verse 15. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. God We didn't do a lot of dramatic illustration, but you know what God says? Because she obeyed, there was food for a continuous basis. Can I say this? If God tells you to do something, and you're saying not enough, you know what you need to do? You just do what God tells you to do. Many of us fail, I believe. I'm going to say something. Many of us are Christians here, but we have never experienced the multiplying power of God in your own life. Because your focus is on your lack of resources rather than on His power. Does that make sense? You know why I believe in the multiplying power of God? We started this mission with 8. That took some time. But God multiplied it. Didn't add, multiplied. Now I say that humbly. And I say that with experience in what God can do. We had 8 people. We had 8 people, and we are not millionaires. People gave to the van. Thank God there are other people who supported that too. God, with the 8 people and with some people, raised up $42,500 to buy that van out there that we have. No, I keep repeating this. There are so many new things. We could only pay rental at $580. That's our limited resources. You know, you see that place there? Someone, God, gave us that place. Do we have the resources? 1.13 million, do we have it? No, it's, by the way, we don't have to pay anything, amen? We don't have to pay rent though, just in case you run away. But you know what? God will give to us, but we need to do what we can. Our Heavenly Father, I'm convinced, have infinite resources. But listen carefully, it's not for ourselves. That building that's going to come up, in the bigger space, is about 5 to 6 times bigger than this. God gave because, I believe with all my heart, probably about 200 people in Woodlands, Yishun, Marsiling, and Sembawang still need to come to Christ. Because that place can fill up another. We need another 200 people to fill that place. There are 200 people out there that God says, I'm giving you this place, not for you to just idle. I need you to go and get them. And I'm giving you the resources first. Thank God we're not in the red. I got that right, right? We're not in the red, right? I used to say we're not in the black. No, we're not in the red. God has infinite resources. Christians, stop looking at the situation. Start looking at God. Those of you in ministry, we're not enough workers. Well, what did God say? You're not enough workers. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that He will what? Send forth laborers into a harvest field. That's my passage for the Chinese this afternoon. We need to send forth laborers into His harvest field. Only God can send. Trust in the multiplying power of God despite your resources. We don't have much. We're not millionaires here. But thank God, God can also use people who are not millionaires. Amen. Some people are too big for God to use. I like this. Listen to this. Some people are too big for God to use. Because you only do some things for God, and not everything. But there's no one too small that God cannot use. Amen? There is no one. Christians, don't ever think that God cannot use your life. Because you don't have. Because God has everything. When God sends you, He equips you, He gives you His grace, He gives you His strength, He gives you the resources. Amen? No one goes to war on his own charges. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 says. If people don't give, guess what? God gives. You know, from the time that myself and my wife, we went into full time. Oh yeah, we have times of need. At every time, God met it. And our children could see that as well. Do you believe in the multiplying power of God despite your resources, number one? Notice number two. God can multiply despite our lack of resources. But number two, God can multiply despite, listen carefully, our unbelief. Our unbelief. Notice in verse 9, you know the phrase, what are they among so many? It's a question of unbelief. Translated in Singaporean terms is cannot one lah. Cannot one. That's a Singlish Okay? Usually in proper English, it is impossible to do that, you know? For Singaporeans, it's cannot one, la. What is unbelief? If you check the dictionary, the word unbelief means, comes from the Greek word pistio, okay? Pistia, I can't really pronounce the Greek word, but it's A, is faith is P-I-S-T-I-A, something along those lines. Unbelief puts the A in front. What does, when you put an A in front of a word, what does the A does? It is a negative, right? Nothing. Does that make sense? So unbelief means no faith. Not believing at all. That's unbelief. Okay? Now, unbelief usually comes, number one, in the form of questions. Are you sure or not? Nothing wrong with asking questions, okay? But when we ask questions, we need to ask ourselves, why are we asking questions? Brother Johnny, I don't think I can move out from the rut I'm in. Brother Johnny, I cannot do this. Or not just Brother Johnny. Some people may say, look, you can do this. No, I cannot. I can't speak Chinese. Every time I speak Chinese, my wife will laugh at me and my children will But you know, we can't. You know, that's unbelief. Unbelief. It usually comes in the form of questions. Here it says, like, what is death among so many? Let's turn to 2 Kings. There's one situation whereby there was one man who doubted the prophet of God once again. But this time it's Elisha. The first one is Elijah. The second one is Elisha. Okay? 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 1. Okay? It was a bad situation. The kingdom of Samaria was under siege. Okay? That means the Syrian army was coming and it was so bad. The famine was so bad, listen, that they were even eating their own children. That was what God says in Deuteronomy. Listen, if you do not want to follow the will of the Lord, God told the Israelites, there will come a time that famine will be so great, the locusts will eat up all your harvest, and you will end up eating your own children. And that was what happened in 2 Kings, in chapter 6, only the earlier part. And so people were complaining, and said, that, you know what they were doing? Today I eat your son, tomorrow you eat mine. That was what they were doing because there was no more food. Eating balut is not so bad, right? At least you know that. We just had balut yesterday. So if those who don't know balut, you can speak to our Filipino brethren. All right? But they were eating their children. The famine was so bad. Elisha came. In 2 Kings 7 verse 1 says this. Then Elijah said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure be flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria. You know, inflation was so high during the famine time, but Elisha came with a prophecy. Basically, this verse says, tomorrow, you are going to get your flour at a bargain. Things are going to be much cheaper by tomorrow. That was a prophecy from the man of God to encourage the people. But notice there was one guy there, verse 2, an advisor to the king. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows of heaven, might this thing be? You know what he was doing? His unbelief was showing up in his question. Can I ask you a question? What does hinder thee to be baptized? What does hinder thee to serve the Lord? Are you going to give me a question? I say, yes, I need to do that. Don't answer me, answer God. But get this. God dealt with this man in the Bible based on what Elijah said. Now, if that is consistent, if I speak the word of God and you don't follow, I need to be careful here. I'm not trying to be a dictator, all right? Please, when I go down that line, I need to be very careful. You follow the word of the Lord in your hearts. What questions do you have for God when He asks you to do something? You can say, though, I don't agree with that person. Well, you can don't agree. But you know what we do? When we ask a question, we don't agree, then we just leave it, right? But what if there's something that God is wanting us to do in our hearts? Would you listen? What is God asking you? What questions are you asking Him? This man said, if God can make windows of heaven, let me ask you, can God make windows of heaven? Sure, he can. God can do anything he wants. But this man, you know, he was doubting God, and it was coming out in his question. You know what Elisha said? And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. You will see it with your eyes, but you will not eat thereof." There are a few people I know who say Ambassador Baptist Church shouldn't be built. Many, many years ago when I first started. They disagreed and they quietly, but they resisted it. You know what God says? You will see, but you will not taste of God's goodness. You know, this is in hindsight. But can I say this? Zechariah chapter 4 tells us, don't despise the day of small things. Despises thou the day of small things? You know, if God starts something small, are you going to destroy it? No. You know, we need to trust in God. God can multiply despite our unbelief. Our unbelief comes in the form of questions just like this apostles. But number two, unbelief comes because we forget who God is. We forget the characteristic of God. Who was the disciples with all the time? Who was he with? Anyone? It was with Jesus, right? Okay? If you look through the book of John up to chapter 6, chapter 2, the Lord Jesus changed water into wine. Okay? 6 water pots. 1 pot, about 40 liters. 6 water pots. 1 pot, 40 liters. So how many altogether? 240 liters. 240 Coke bottles. 1 liter, one. Here. All plain water. The Lord Jesus changed it all to wine. Okay? The word wine there has the idea of cordial grape juice. Okay? Don't use that passage to say that God condoned alcoholic drinking. He does not. There are 3 words for wine in the Bible. Okay? So I won't go into that. But you know, it's kind of like a cordial that we have. Last time in Israel, water is very saltish. They cannot drink that. So what they do is that they will take the grapes, they will thresh it, and they will boil it to make it into a paste. And then they will keep that. And then every time they want to drink water, they will scoop the paste up, put it in the container, and pour it 20 parts of water. Kind of like when you make your syrup or ribena. Does that make sense? Okay, that is what Jesus is talking about. When you go for a wedding, right? Some of us, you eat a lot, right? Then after 2 hours, you still want to drink, then all ice and water left. Okay, ice and water is not the game for the children. You only have ice and water, and it's very diluted. Can I say this? Those weddings in the Jewish days lasted 6 days to 1 week. Lasted 1 week, sorry. And so to keep so-called the cordial going, a lot of money. But you know what? The Lord Jesus changed that. That was a miracle. And then in chapter 5, Jesus healed the man who was sick for 38 years. Okay? And so the disciples saw what Jesus could do. And who asked Philip, "You go and feed them"? The Lord Jesus. But what did the disciples do? Question God. Question God. Question God. Is it possible sometimes when it comes to the crisis, we forget who God is? Think about that for a while. Is it possible when the financial situation in your family, straight away you pull out, "Oh, I cannot go to church, God, do this, I need to do this, I need to do this." You forget who God is. By the way, financial crisis or not, God is still your master, He is still your Lord. He is still your Savior. Thank God He remained faithful, amen? He doesn't move from His position. You know what? Maybe God wants to shift us to trust Him even more today. You know, we forget who God is. Let's do some simple maths, alright? For how many years did God feed the nation of Israel in the wilderness? How many years? 40 years, right? Okay, assuming 1 loaf of bread for 2 person per day. Okay, how many Jewish people were there in the wilderness during that time? About 1.8 to 2 million. Let's take 2 million, alright? Assuming 1 loaf of bread for 2 persons per day, how many loaves of bread is necessary to feed the nation of Israel for 1 day? 1 million. 1 million, right? How many loaves of bread is necessary to feed them for 1 year? Can you imagine that? And how many loaves of bread is required for them to be fed for 40 years? Ah, you all got problem, right? Some of you all, the iPhone come out already, or the calculator. Oh, I made a calculation. 28 billion loaves of bread. That's just bread, no. God didn't forget the protein. Remember the quails that came? Let's assuming one quail per person. A quail is pretty small. Okay? So one quail per person, how many is required for one day? 2 million. Okay, assuming, huh? 1 year? About 700 million quails. Times 40 years? 28. Is that right? Alright, okay, thank you. The first one was 14 billion, sorry. The quails is 28 billion. But you know, God didn't forget the water too. Let's assuming 1 liter a day. I don't know whether they took shower or not. That's a different thing. Okay? But can you imagine God multiplied without the faith of the Israelites? God provided them for 40 long years. You realize the clothing that the Jewish people wore for the 40 years, the Bible said, Deuteronomy chapter 8, didn't wear out. The sandals and the clothing on their backs didn't wear out for 40 years. Huh? You buy Nike, what, $120 in 2 years, you got to change, depending on your usage. I had one shoes I bought from, I don't want to tell you where, I don't tell you the brand. Okay, I kept in my storeroom. Because I didn't need it, alright? Someone gave it to me. I came in the storeroom. Pretty good brand one. Okay, when you run, you get some bounce on. You know, the kind of... Not the last time SAF, you give you the... Oh, SAF. the little rubber thing. You know what? I took out. I wanted to wear. You know, the sole came out. And I didn't even touch it for 2 years. You know, it's just gone. For 40 years, they were walking around in the wilderness. And God said, it didn't wear out. You know what kind of desert? You know what kind of place they were in? Desert place. Dry. Sand. Stones. And yet the Bible says their footwear never wore out. You think God cannot multiply? How many of you believe that God can multiply things in your life when you serve Him? When you are willing to trust Him. You know, when you're willing to trust Him, you will see His multiplying power. That's very important. Only God can multiply. Despite our unbelief. But in point number three, firstly, God can multiply despite our lack of resources, our unbelief. Number three, God multiplies for our encouragement. God multiplies for our encouragement. Can those who actually was here for the morning when you saw the Sunday school, when there's this British missionary who went to the mountains of Yunnan to preach. You know, for 6 years, there was no one coming to Christ, or one family, and they came back, they went back to Satanism again. But you know, but after that, God multiplied it, right? Look at John chapter 6, verse 10, okay? John chapter 6, verse 10, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. There was so much grass, there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. So that's where I got the fact there were only 5,000 men. Men, masculine. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Verse 12, you know, you just stop there. Can you imagine? You just doubted the creator of the universe. And then when the baskets came down, it's like, where did all these fish come from? Can you imagine the disciples were, nah. And the disciples went around giving all the loaves of bread. It's like, nah. And just a moment ago, they were saying, Lord, what is there among so many? You know what that serves to do for us? To build our faith. When you see someone, you're gonna hear what God has done in someone's life afterwards. You heard what God did last week. You will hear some testimony next week about people, about what God has done in their lives. What does that do to you? Is there no effect that God has done something? Are we that, can I say, insensitive to the moving of God? That He doesn't create faith in ourselves to love Him more and to do more for Him. God multiplies for our encouragement. There was a joke that goes on and say, after that, you know, Jesus doesn't waste food, okay? Children, listen. Jesus does not waste food. Because after all have eaten, what he did, he gathered up the fragments. Okay? You apply it the way parents use it, wherever you want to apply. Okay? Don't waste your food. The Lord Jesus said, okay, I'll raise the namana. Anyway, nowhere to keep anyway. No, Jesus said, like, gather up the fragments, that nothing be lost. How many basketfuls were filled? 12. Why 12? Not like this. Huh. You know what? Who doubted Jesus in the first place? The disciples. Why 12? Now, one for you, one for you, one for you, one for you. Can you imagine? To build their faith. To build their faith. It came to the point that Peter in the New Testament, Acts chapter 3, when he saw, remember the man at the temple called Beautiful? He wanted alms. What did Peter say? Silver and gold have I none, but whatever I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What happened to him? Where did that faith come from? It was built. It was built. It was built. No, Christians, when you see God working in other Christians' lives, don't get jealous. Be encouraged. Because God wants to do that in your life too. One final point. And in this last point, I was thinking through, you notice, I was thinking, is it possible for God to multiply when we do nothing? Because I just talked about the fact that God can multiply despite the unbelief, right? Is it possible for God to do, for multiply, when the disciples were in unbelief, the 5,000 men didn't have a clue? Everyone was just looking around or sitting around, no one moved. Huh? Is it possible for God to multiply if nothing happened? Can I say this? If no one moves, God will not move. This is a very important principle from the Bible. God uses men to do His will. When no one moves, God moves. God cannot move. In the Old Testament, God functions many times, even through prophets, even through donkeys. But when no one wants to do anything, God's not going to do anything. How do I know that? But you know what? In this passage, thank God, someone did something. Who was that someone? Who was that someone? Was a nameless boy. Children, are you listening? Don't let this big adults tell you, you're too small to do anything. It was a boy who gave up his lunch. It was a boy who gave up his lunch. The Bible says in verse 9, there's a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. You know what? Sometimes, parents, when our children want to do something for God, please, in the name of our Lord, don't stop them. If they say, Mama, I want to be baptized, say, why? What do you mean, why? Because I love Jesus and it's a commandment of God, I want to follow Him. Mama, can I read more of the Bible? If your child doing in disobedience, like for example, he's supposed to sleep, and then he tried to be spiritual, that's a different question, okay? When it's time for him to do something that is right, and he tried to change, that's a different. But you know, if your child just out of the blue said, look, he sings Jesus loves me this, I know, you know what? Your son needs to be in Sunday school. Or you need to teach your children, your son, the Bible. You need to start doing something. Okay? You know what? There's a lad that has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know, God is looking for one man that He can move through. That's all He's looking for. Are you listening? God is looking for one person, just one person, that He can move through. One person. Those who came in the Sunday school, God used Fraser to touch the Lisu people. One man surrendering to go. One man. Out of all the people, only one lad gave. Can I say this? You will never know his name until you go to heaven. All we know is there's one person in the big group who gave to the Lord that day. Can I say this? God multiplies only when we give our all. God multiplies only when we would give our all. When there is reservation, when there is, I'll just do 10%, Lord, you do not. No, God says, I want your all. I want your all. I want your all. I want your all. That's what God says. I won't multiply. Or God may give you some mercy drops of blessings. But unless we are willing to give all, God cannot multiply. Not that He doesn't want to. He cannot. You know, this child who gave the loaves, maybe he just, some people are very cool. You know, it's cool. Very silly to give your lunch. No, he was giving. You see, it depends. It's not what you have. Let's turn to 2 Kings. This is a very vital principle. 2 Kings 4 and verse 2. 2 Kings 4 and verse 2. There was this man. Okay, this one would be for the youth. Yesterday, you were confused about Elisha and Elisha. All right, okay. There was one. There was a preacher's wife. A preacher died. Okay, then the wife had some creditors who came and say, "Look, you need to pay back. Otherwise, we are going to bring your children, sell your two sons, and pay back your credit." And so this widow was saying, "Elisha, they're going to take away my children. What have I got?" You know what Elisha told her to do? Look at verse number 2. I'll read verse number 1 first. Now they cried a woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? You know, Elijah said, how can I help you? You know, tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, thine handmaid had not anything in the house except this pot of oil. You know what's the significance of that? You see, the little boy gave the lunch. Okay, I'll come back to this again afterwards. The little boy gave the lunch to Jesus. Okay, that's a very valuable principle. It's not what you have, it's who you give it to. It's not what you have, it's who you give it to. Let me explain. You have 2 hours per week. Who are you going to give it to? Hello? If you have 2 hours a week, who are you going to give it to? Let's say we're all very busy people, 168 hours a week, half of that you go and sleep, right? Okay, some less. You got 2 hours to spare in the week, who do you give it to? A few things, newspaper, computer games, friends. Are you going to multiply spiritually? But you've got 2 hours in the week. You say, I'll spend the 2 hours calling all our contacts. If one person comes to Christ, Christians have some Christian common sense. It's not what you have that matters, it's who you give it to. The little boy took the lunch. Can you imagine? You know what would happen if the little boy took the lunch and gave it to another person? What would happen to the lunch? The person would just eat it and it's gone, right? But give it to Jesus, who can do something with it. What talents do you have? Brother Johnny, I don't have much. I don't have much time. My question is not... Look at the question in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 2. I like that. I like this. No, when I read that, it's like... have you ever read the Bible? It just jump out and bite you. It doesn't bite you. You know what I mean? It kind of like speaks to you. Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? What hast thou in thy house? Hello? Is God speaking to us? God wants to multiply, but what hast thou in thy house? It's not what you have. God can use anything, amen? No one believed that. God can use anything and anyone. Because Elijah said, what do you have in your house? Next time when you say, I don't have much whatever, ask yourself, rather than saying that, ask yourself, what do I have that I can give God? Because that's what Elisha asked the woman. You say, you know how the woman treated what she had? I don't have anything except this pot of oil. What you despise, God can use. Amen. If you know what God has done through my life, you know why I'm crying.
If God can use me, He can use you.
We serve God because we love Him for what He has done to change our lives, Christian. What hast thou in thy house that you are stopping and not giving to God? That is what God is looking for. God is not looking for multi-million dollars. God is just saying, what do you have? What do you have? You cannot say you don't have anything because God has given you all things. Amen? But what are you holding and withholding from God that God wants to multiply and He cannot? Oh, Christian, understand this. God wants to bless your life. You know, when I see you growing, God blesses me with encouragement to keep pressing on. When your life multiplies, every father in this room, you realize you can multiply yourself in your children. Take away the bad parts, put in the good ones. Every mother, do you realize you can multiply yourself in your daughters? Sunday school teacher, do you realize you can multiply yourself? You know what you need to do? You need to give all. In other words, when you prepare your Sunday school lesson the next time, Lord, you know, I have 6 Sunday school children. One of them from China. Lord, my Chinese is lousy, but help me to reach this person. Lord, you know that there's this person from whatever. Lord, you know there's this church member's child, and Lord, help me to work with them because he needs to get saved. Sunday school teachers, do you have that heart? Chapel teachers, do you have that heart? Lord, I'm going to teach these children. Lord, they need to know Christ because if they are messed up by this world, it's so hard to bring them back. Lord, we need to win them now. Or youth workers, God, this person is following the world. This one needs to give himself totally to Christ. This, whoever, you know what? And God, we need to double because we need to see encouragement. And you throw yourself totally into that. Of course, you have your own duties, but you say, Lord, whatever spare time you allow me to have, God, is for you. And by the way, this little boy only had that lunch. Because he gave to Jesus, he not only had a blessing from God, then I'm talking about him today, 2,000 years later. God blessed him. I'm sure you see him in heaven. God multiplies only when we give our all. As we close, God is looking for someone, anyone, children, anyone. Are you willing to give your all? It starts with baptism. After I become a Christian, the next step is I need to follow Christ in believer's baptism. And then after that, Lord, what do you want me to do? I've messed up. What do you want me to do? Give to God. God is looking for someone. I seldom say this, but I'll say it today. Is God calling someone to go to the mission field? Somewhere out of Singapore where you're willing to give up all. I'm speaking especially to those who are teenagers and young people. If you have your dreams in your lives and God is not in those dreams, you better put Him back there. You better put Him back there. Because if you choose to walk your own way, I can tell you, walk away of the world, and your children walk away of the world. And if your children walk the way of the world, God holds your children in your responsibility. That's a very serious matter. Oh Christian, give yourselves to God. Totally. God can multiply. You know, we need many laborers, but like the missionary that said just now, he cannot understand why so few are giving themselves to the mission field. Because if Jesus said, go ye therefore, he means go ye therefore. And yet so few are going today, especially Singaporeans. We are so caught up in our conveniences that a 20-minute ride to church is too tiring. When people will walk for hours just to get to church, will ride on horseback just to win someone to Christ. When our comforts and our conveniences, Singaporeans are so pampered. I say that as a caring pastor because I want God to bless you and multiply your life. Is it so hard to give what you have to God? We will spend $200-$300 on a meal, but we scringe when it comes to give to God. Isn't that true? We need to face up. Judgment must begin in the house of God. I say this not to put a guilt trip. I was saved because someone knocked on my door, 1981. It was Sunday lunchtime, after lunch. He won me to Christ because he sacrificed his rest after church to go out soul winning. You came to Christ because someone cared enough to sacrifice time to speak to you. Isn't that right? What about doing that for someone else? Is that too much to ask? Is that too much to ask? Is that too much to ask? If you have come for Friday night, the law of the harvest says, when you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. But when you sow bountifully, God will multiply. I'll give you one more verse and we'll close. John chapter 12, please. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And verse 24, let's read together, right? It was the final verse. It was a verse that was placed also on the DVD just now. John chapter 12, verse 24. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, begin. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Those who do PSLE science or science in general know there is life in every seed. Right? There's a life in every seed. You put it water, you put cotton wool, it grows. Okay? The Bible says, except the seed goes to the ground and dies, it will stay by itself. But if it actually dies, life is produced. Christian, you have the life of Christ in your life. Unless you are willing to die to yourself, your ambitions and plans, and you will be willing to say one thing, Lord, whatever you do is number one priority for me. Whatever your Bible says is number one priority for me, God. I'm willing to do that. Whatever I think, I feel, even if I'm uncomfortable, Lord, is not important. It's what you want me to do. And I can tell you, God says, all right, deal. Because in Isaiah chapter 6, you don't have to turn there, it's in your bulletin. Remember what God says, who shall I send? And who will go for us? Do you realize there are two questions in there? Whom shall I send? That's God's appointment. And who decides will go for us? That's the voluntary will. Two questions. Guess what God is looking for? You know what Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. And then after Isaiah said, yes, Lord, I will go, I've decided to go, then God says, go. For those who believe God has called you, you need to already start and decide in your own heart, I'm going, unless God stops me. And I can tell you, God will bless. Teenagers, are you willing to say today, after this, Lord, I don't know what the implications are, but if this is from your word, and you are speaking to my heart, I'm going. I don't know all that's involved, but I'm going. Parents, if your son or your daughter puts up the hand, in the name of Christ, don't stop them. I can tell you that is the best for their lives because God will never shortchange us. Amen? I see my family growing. Oh yeah, they don't have many things. But you know what? They have a church that loves them, that supports them. They have God who cares for them. Are you willing to give all that God may multiply through your life? Let's close with a prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. And Lord, I believe in your multiplying power. But Lord, I believe that many here believe too. But Lord, we know also the weakness of our faith. Sometimes we find it hard to surrender all. We'll be singing the song, I Surrender All. And Lord, maybe someone here is saying, Lord, I've not given even much. Yeah, I've done certain things, but from your Bible, it seems that this little boy gave all. There was no reserves. There was no retreat for him. He gave all that he ever had to you. And Father, I don't know, but you do. With your eyes closed, heads bowed, alright? No one looking around. Eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. Can I just ask you, is it possible that God is speaking to someone here and say, exactly the question I ask, I have not given all, but I want to, because I want God to work in my life. I'm not here to force anyone, but you know, if God is speaking to you, all I want to do is to pray for you. If you are a Christian, and you say, I know God is speaking to me, Pastor, pray for me that God will help me to not only give all, but help me to decide right now to give all, that God can bless, not just me, my family, and whoever I come into contact with. Is there anyone like that? Just pull up your right hand. Amen, I see these hands. Anyone else? I see the hands. It's good to see young people committing themselves. Anyone else? Amen, I see that hand too. Amen. Amen. Put it up and put it down and pray in your heart, God, I'm going to give all. Whatever it takes, Lord, it's for you. Amen, I see that hand too. Is there anyone else? I'm going to give my all. Amen, I see that hand. You know, many young people are putting up. Adults, what about you? Have you been walking with God? What about you? Are we never too old to give up all? Is there anyone? I just want to pray for you. Is there anyone? Amen, I see that hand too. Just put it up, put it down, and then decide in your heart, Lord, I will. Amen, I see that hand. I will. Lord, help me to see your ways in every angle, every turn of my life, every decision I need to make. Lord, help me to find you first. Christian, anyone else? Can I just ask one question again? If you're here today and say, Brother Johnny, I know God has spoken to my heart that God wants me to do something for Him full time next time. I don't know what, but I know. But I just want you to pray for me that God will seal this in my heart once again so I can keep moving forward for Him. Is there anyone? Just pull up your... Amen, I see that. I'm seeing three hands. Is there anyone else? Is God moving your heart? Is there anyone else? All I want is to pray for you. Amen. I see that hand too. I know God wants me to do something for Him full time. Like I'm going to give my whole self to God. And I'm going to follow the leading of the Lord. Amen. I see that hand. Is there anyone else? God wants me to do something for Him. Is there anyone else? I have one more question. If you are here today, you have never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Can I just quickly tell you, we are all sinners on our way to hell. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross so that He can pay the price of our sin. Because you see, every sin has to be punished. But yet Jesus Christ in love paid for that and say, if you will trust me, I will save your soul, I will bring you to heaven, forgive your sins, and I will help you in everything that you ever need. You say, Brother Johnny, I've never heard this before, but this is the first time. I want to know this Jesus. Is there anyone? I wouldn't embarrass you, just pull up your hand, I'll pray for you, and I'll get someone to share with you. We are not here for more money, we are not here to ask you to join the church, we just want to share with you Jesus Christ love you so much, and you're here not for anything else except to follow Christ. Is there anyone? Say, Brother Johnny, I don't know, but I want to know, I want to find out more. Is there anyone? Is there anyone? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. And Lord, I ask for your Holy Spirit to do something in our midst. God, there's so many young people who have surrendered themselves in some way to you. We thank you, Lord, that there are many adults who do that too. But God, you are doing something in our church. You are doing something that only you can. Only you can bring to pass. Lord, I'm going to pray a prayer of faith at this time. I pray that everyone who has put up their hands and said that you have touched them in some way, I ask from now on, Lord, to the time it comes to fruition, that Lord, your Holy Spirit will guide them every step of the way, that God, you will break them and you will change them to the likeness of Jesus Christ. And God, every time they read their Bible, it will be so clear to them what you want them to do. And Father, I pray, many souls will come to Christ because of these people. Lord, use these people in a mighty way. Lord, I pray for the rest who are looking. Father, I ask your Holy Spirit to strengthen our resolve. If we cannot go, help us to pray. If we cannot, help us to give, that this might go. Father, I ask for your Holy Spirit to grip our hearts, that we might love you with all our hearts. Father, thank you for what you're going to do. I don't know what you have in store for the people who have put up their hands, but I thank you, you know. Because just as you tested Philip, I believe you're testing us now. Whether or not we are willing to surrender all. Thank you, Father. There are people that you have touched here. I ask that you will touch their hearts. They will grow up to love you. And that, Father, their lives will be pure. And their lives will be purified. And their lives will be a powerful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. I pray for every parent and every mom and dad that they will give their children to God. That, Father, they will love them with all their hearts, and they will do all they can to ensure that their children be spiritually guided, that the children might find the light of Christ and then go and share it with others. Lord, I pray for even the older ones who need encouragement, and people who need encouragement now, help them to see it is in Christ that the answer is, not in world, not in anything that we can ever do. Lord, like this little child, help us to give what we have, so that you can multiply. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.